The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
RJ Bell, why you started pregame, what kind of gave you the impetus to do that, and how you built it into what you built it into?
There was no internet, so what was I going to do with this intellectual curiosity? Then I saw a spot sheet. But with a spot sheet or a parlay card, you have to bet at least three and upwards of 12 or 15 games. I was 14 years old. I said, well, I know the NFL. I'm going to bet this. I went 4 out of 4. It's usually when you win that first bet, right?
Yep.
It gets the hooks in.
Dallas Cowboys are the second favorite, but when I'm looking at their win totals, it's only 9.5.
Well, how many teams have over 9.5 or 10 or more wins projected?
Most of the numbers are around 9, 9.5 are the big numbers, with the exception of the Patriots.
Parity is parity, man, and it really is. Other than the Patriots, teams are going to go 13-3 because the ball bounces their way a few times. Even good teams will sometimes go 10-6.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, at RJ in Vegas, at Jon Snow, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you have any questions for the great RJ Bell, who's been filling in today for AJ Hoffman, just hit us up on Twitter, the text line, and we'll bounce him off him. And I wanted a brief...
Fred.
Yes?
Quick question.
Sure.
Am I interrupting?
No, go ahead.
I mean, you kept talking and talking. I mean, I was just waiting. At some point, I'm going to jump in.
It's because I'm resetting the show at the top of the hour.
Oh, is that... Wait. This is what professionals do?
Again, don't call me professional. It's not...
finish the reset. I want to see what I said.
No, it's already reset. I was just going to follow up on a couple of things we were just talking about.
I felt like you were done. That was my point. I felt like you were done. You just didn't know it.
Okay. So what do you got?
Here's my question. That replay, that wasn't a normal speed, was it?
Jong?
I think that's like 125%.
It wasn't that fast, but I cut out a couple of breaths here and there, and it's a very...
But the pace of the talking, like,
it was quicker.
If Fred
yes.
was saying something, yeah, you sped it up.
Yeah, just a little bit to fit it into the donut.
Has anyone ever noticed that before?
I think so.
Uh-huh.
I've noticed that I sound goofier on that, so...
Yeah, I'm just saying I do not talk that fast, do I?
No.
I know I talk kind of fast, but come on. All right, Fred, sorry. I didn't want to interrupt you. Sorry.
That's fine. I just... going to follow up on a couple things that just to finish off what we're talking about. And it's one of the things with the new website that we're doing with SportsMap. We're doing a lot of what Fox Sports One is doing. I know they're going all digital on their website. We're still going to have copy written, but we're going to do a lot of videos and short, quick hit videos, and eventually turn that in as much to a television site as it is a website and a tech site. And I'm excited about that. And those are the kind of things that we're trying to constantly look forward on. And Walter wanted to know where he can send his resume for an internship to Colorado Fowler Publishing. That's I hope to be hiring for that at some point. Have somebody actually come up there and help me out. But that's a long way off. And somebody else asked, how many novels do I have in me? I it's funny because I had a great meeting with my agent and my marketing team yesterday. And I've got 10 novels. Like, if you told me I need this by the end of the month, I could have you a rough draft of any one of about 10 by then. So, yeah, I hope that this works out and that I can write some more, because I do think I have got some fun stories to tell. But if not, I'll just keep telling stupid stories on air until people are sick of me and want rid of me. So, do you have any more questions for me?
I think what we saw was I was stepping on your promotion, and that's why you got upset.
No.
Right?
No.
You were thinking about this promotion all break, and then I stepped on it. You're like, Man, RJ, why you let me finish?
No,
come on.
No, you're doing fine. You're doing fine.
So you could have a novel, rough draft, like a first draft in 30 days? Like a 300-page book?
On those topics, yes.
Or an outline, or an outline.
Well, no, I mean, I could have a rough draft. I mean, that would not be the final draft. I'd go through and add some things because I always do.
But you could have 300 pages that was barely, you know, readable. Obviously, it wouldn't be proofed. It would be edited, but you'd have 300 page or 250, let's say, in a month.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
If you tell me, if you tell me, I want this project, I could do it. I'm a binge writer. I've always been that way.
We would have to test for performance enhancing drugs.
Well, there'd be weed smoked and alcohol drank during the process, but I don't know if that's performance enhancing, but it is writing enhancing, at least for me. But no, if that becomes my full-time gig down the road, I do have a lot left to do that I could create quite a few titles in a pretty short amount of time. And because I'm not going to live that much longer. I mean, I think I'll outlive George R. R. Martin. So I'd like to get mine done before he gets his done. But yeah, that's just how I've always been.
How old are you?
I'm 52.
And you're talking about not living much longer? Once you reach 50... Like people get confused by that whole 76 is the average lifespan or whatever, and you know, women are slightly more, is because that includes like 1 year old babies die and you know, from whatever, and that's all mixed in. But once a man reaches 50, he's like projected to live to over 80.
Now, but think of it this way.
You've got like 30. Like, think about how long ago were you 20 years old? I mean, that's been a long time ago.
Yes, it has.
Right? It's going to be that long again until you're 80, pretty much.
Well, but think about this. I'd be starting a completely new career at the age of 55. So to be that productive, I don't know how long I would have to create that many titles, which is why.
Okay, fine, but it's different. Don't act like you're like, people, listeners are going to be like, I wonder if Fred's got some disease we don't know about.
No, I'm always talking about dying on this show. AJ's been trying to kill me off for years.
All right, last question for me. Most of the listeners I guess pretty much all of them like sports, but most of them are not obsessed with sports. Meaning it's not like, oh, I can't possibly watch a movie because there's a game on, or, you know, I'm going to watch the CFL because there's no other football. Now, there's obviously that group, but a majority of sports fans are sports fans, not, you know, fanatics. I know it's the it's the abbreviation, but still. But you are forced to be a fanatic because you've got, like, imagine you say, hey, I'm just not going to watch that Celtics Wizard game 3. Well, maybe you don't have to watch every minute, but you better have read about it or something and watched the highlights at minimum, and still you're going to be deficient coming in the next day. Is there an ambivalence? Is there the sense that this job forces you to be fanatical about sports? Being someone who writes books, that likes to gamble, bet horses, all the other things you do in life, is that one of the strains of this job?
Yes and no. During football season, it's a different animal around here. And yeah, you have to follow everything the Texans do in addition to college football. And I wind up in some form or fashion watching every NFL game. So during the football season.
Now, if you didn't have this job, would you do that?
Probably not, no. But
all right, so is that incremental effort fun?
Yeah, it is, because I enjoy it. I mean, I enjoy the games, and there's added benefit from it because it's not just the show. I mean, I'll write stuff for the website. I'll notice things that are going to affect my betting the next week. You know, I always look at it from that perspective. So in reality, it's not just that it's for the show. And a lot of things that I do for the show apply to everything else I do. So, but, you know, am I a fanatic? No. Do I love it? Yes. And I think there's a difference, because that's one reason why we get off on topics that aren't sports on the show. And there's always one guy out there that's like, talk sports. And it's like, if I talk sports for every minute of this show, I would kill myself. I mean, I would be the most boring person in the world. And I would have no life. And that, nobody wants that. That wouldn't be a good show, and I wouldn't enjoy it. And the reason we have fun here is because we do get off on other topics. But we also know once football starts, I mean, that's king around here. And you've got to, you better spend a lot of time on it, or you're not going to have anybody listening. And, you know, and we get that, so.
And I think that in a way, that's back to the whole podcast versus radio show debate, because if you listen to, and you know, I've talked to guys at ESPN National, guys at Fox, and the idea is, okay, we're going to have six – it's a three-hour show. We're going to have six topics, and every hour we've got to hit it at least once. And you hear the old, you know, the average listener listens for 3 minutes at a time. And thus, if you're listening to the whole 3 hours, you're going to hear about, you know, whatever the debate of the day is, you know, the lead story on SportsCenter. You would have heard it probably nine times in a three-hour show, some variation of it. But a podcast, you would never do that. You would never repeat again and again, because if you're listening at the two-minute mark, or if you're listening at the 20-minute mark, you listened at the two-minute mark, right? People don't jump in the middle of a podcast. So in another way, that's, I think, a great advantage of your show. I'm guessing you've got more dedicated listeners. It's so hard to listen. You know, I am a huge Colin fan, but I cannot, I only listen to his best of pod. I don't listen to the show live, and I don't listen to the full pod, because he inevitably has to talk about the same thing again and again and again. Now, he's good at trying to make it slightly different, but it's still the same topic. And if I, unless I'm missing it, and obviously this show is different, let's just say, and Houston's different, right? That's going to be, you know, if your quarterback gets hurt, you're going to talk about that the whole show. But if it's something of, you know, the debate of the day about LeBron, how many times are you and AJ touching that in 3 hours?
We'll hit it the first segment, and then maybe take it into the second, and then that's it. Because
so one time.
Well, yeah. Now, we might follow it up if there's a different take from a different perspective, but we're not going to beat that thing to death. And basically what we'll do is, when somebody asks about it, say, well, if you want to hear what we said about Kyrie Irving, go to podcastarena.com. It was in the 4 o'clock hour, first two segments. And so, you know, we never try to repeat much of anything on the show. Sometimes we'll come back to
and
things.
would you agree that the typical, and not talking about anyone in particular, but the typical local radio show is hitting the same topics, you know, multiple times an hour?
Absolutely. And a lot of national. When I was doing the national show, they really wanted you to hit these things hard, and it's just that wasn't fun for me, because, you know, how many times can you sit there and talk about that over and over? And it's not fun for me to listen to either. I just don't like those kind of shows, and that's, you know, that doesn't mean they're not good. Doesn't mean there's not people that do a really great job at them, but it's not for me.
And that's why I actually so love some of those. Like, I love shows like this. And then you've got those rare, and they're usually overnight shows that take caller after caller after caller. And, yeah, they're touching on the same subjects, because the callers somewhat are dictating, but obviously there's a screener. But it's like this ongoing, like the overnight, like I know JT from Fox pretty well. He lives in town. And it was funny. He used to do the 11 to 2 Pacific, right? So that's a East Coast. That's late, late, late. And he said the fanatical fans he had at that segment was, now he's much earlier in the day and in theory a better spot. But people used to be working, you know, night watchmen or whatever night job they had, and they'd listen the whole time. And I'm guessing it might hurt you guys just a little bit. You know, when it comes to the 3 minute listener, because if you're clicking around, the chance of them getting with you the story of the day is a lot less if they're only listening for 3 minutes than your competitor. But when it comes to people who are at work and can have their radio on, I couldn't fathom listening to a show like that for 3 hours. Whereas with you guys, you're going to get everything once. And so it is fascinating to think about the different ways to approach radio.
Yeah, and again, it doesn't make any one right or any one wrong. It's just that's been our approach and continues to be our approach. And once again, football season is completely
different. I'm sorry to interrupt, Fred, but quite frankly, and I'll speak not for you, but for radio and digital, there is a right way. Is if you want to be more than a three-minute show, you've got to be entertaining, you know, more than 3 minutes. And, yeah, if your only goal is 3 minutes, fine. But in the digital world, that's not going to work. That's why those podcasts never work, right? You can make a three-hour typical national radio show into a good 40 minutes, and that's what the best of usually is for whatever show. But, you know, the people who are listening to that whole show and hearing the same topic again and again is almost non-existent. So I think as we move to on-demand, people are going to want to hear things, more good things once than a really supposedly great thing five times. The fact that that's what you're doing, I think, is really cool.
Well, here's one thing that I do tell you over and over, and that's donate your vehicle to Houston Can Academies, because every day these guys change lives. They take in kids who've dropped out of other schools. They give them another chance, and so many of them go on to do great things. And you know what? These are good kids. They just needed another opportunity. Well, Houston Can Academy gives it to them, and they need your help. School's about to start. They need your donations. And by your donations, that can be a truck, a car, a motorcycle, a boat, an RV, a tractor. You may have an old bus sitting out in your yard you don't know what to do with. And maybe you were going to fix these things up, or maybe they've just been sitting in your garage, and now they won't start, and you don't know what to do with it. And you're thinking, well, I could sell it, or I could fix it up. Well, if you donate it, here's what's going to happen. They're going to come tow your vehicle free of charge. They're going to process all the paperwork, and your donation is tax deductible, so you get to write that off. So if you donate today, you're also going to get a $50 Visa gift card if you tell them you heard about it on the Blitz. And if you can hear my voice on the radio, they will come and tow it. Give them a call today, 713-225-4226, 713-225-4226, or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Write off the car, not the kid.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Fred Fowler and RJ Bell. I think this has gone pretty well so far, John. What do you think?
Definitely.
Yeah. So a couple questions from the text line for RJ. Before we get to that, I do want to mention that Beth Liebling usually joins us this time on Wednesday. She will be here tomorrow. We just thought it would be a little weird for her to do the show with RJ in a different city, and I wasn't sure how RJ would respond to sex talk. So, but she will be with us tomorrow, and it'll be a fun segment as always. So one of these questions.
I tend to only talk about what I'm expert on.
Well,
so I'll. I won't judge if I would have said anything, but
trust me, she makes me uncomfortable. So,
oh, there you go. Well, then I'd be in big trouble.
But a lot of people asking about the Mayweather-McGregor fight, and you know, what odds would you need to bet on McGregor? Is there a number where you would put money on him, and would you consider betting Mayweather to knock McGregor out? And in what round would you do if you were going to take that end?
First off, whenever you say when would you take a price, you've got to always caveat and say, assuming you couldn't buy it back, right? Because right now,
right,
I would, you know, if I could get over plus 800, well, I'd play plus 800 and lay 700. So, but if it was a one-sided naked bet, as they say, is to get a little sex inference in, a naked bet, is that I probably, you know, this is going to sound crazy, but I wouldn't play it below 25-1. I mean, there's a guy here that writes for the Review Journal. He's an ESPN radio host, and he covers both UFC and boxing, so he's a perfect guy. Now, no one guy is going to have the answer always, right? But he says he puts the odds of less than 2% of McGregor winning. Now, when it comes to Mayweather in a knockout, what's fascinating is the last time he's knocked out anybody was, and I'm going from memory here, was 2010. So the idea that you haven't, you know, now he's 7 years older than the last time he's knocked anyone out, and now knockout is favored over decision. So that just shows you how much skepticism there is about McGregor, is that if you could have a guy that has had, I think it's 8 or 9 fights since the last knockout, and again, I'm going by memory, and the idea that now that knockout is favored, I probably would lean knockout. Here's why. I think McGregor would get more embarrassed. Like, let's think of two scenarios. First of all, McGregor knows he's a huge underdog. Right. You always hear the saying, you know, I wouldn't let Tyson hit me for $1 million. Well, I'll take $1 million. I'd take $200,000. I'm guessing everyone's heard some version of that conversation. This is like the real world example of that conversation, which is how much will a McGregor take? How much did it take for him to get in the ring to get pummeled? Is most likely the outcome. you also got to remember, beyond the millions he's making, this is a great brand play, because at the end of this, so many more people are going to know McGregor than before. And if he loses, if anything, it's going to be more, hey, he had the guts to fight Mayweather on his own, you know, on Mayweather's home field. And imagine if Mayweather would fight McGregor in UFC. And I agree with that 100%. Whatever chance McGregor has, it's greater boxing than Mayweather would have fighting in the UFC. So this is a free roll. This is, other than being truly injured, which, again, Mayweather, for a professional boxer, doesn't punch that hard. Obviously, he punches hard. But you would think, other than injury, this is a free roll for McGregor. Do you agree with that, Fred?
Yes. Yes, I do.
So now the question is, how do you maximize your chance of winning, even if it's going from 2% to 3%? Right. And then how do you lose most gracefully that hurts your brand the least? And I think there's two possible scenarios. One is he's hyper aggressive. You know, like it's Hearns Hagler and it's not going more than three or four rounds because no one could put up with it. And if he went Hearns Hagler, got a couple of punches in that you just usually don't against Mayweather, and then got knocked out in the second, does anyone look badly upon Hearns for that fight? Or do they say what guts he had to do that? Now, the other example is Mayweather just tattooing him for, what is it, 12 rounds. And he doesn't have the gas tank for that. So come 9 and 10, he's going to be huffing and puffing. His arms are going to be down. And it's going to be like Mr. T against Rocky in the first fight. It's going to be just boom, boom, boom. And then if he goes down, it doesn't really look like he should. It's like it would be a long 45-minute or, I guess, 36-minute now embarrassment, 12 times 3. It'd be that long of an embarrassment as opposed to being a warrior who got knocked out. And even if the odds are small in both cases of winning for McGregor, I think he has a slightly better chance of going, you know, warrior style or animal style, whatever you want to call it, and having a small chance of an elbow that doesn't get called and one uppercut. And if it was that easy, other people would have done it. But if the odds go from 2% to 3% and you're not going to get embarrassed as badly, I don't see the scenario. And here's my question to you, Fred, that he can go 12 and not get humiliated, because he can't box with them.
No. And for all the Mayweather not knocking guys out, I mean, he's not knocking out real boxers who know how to defend themselves against him, and that's the thing. I think Connor's going to get hit an awful lot in this thing, and can he go 12 rounds getting hit that much? And I don't know. I don't think so, but I agree. Come out and swing for the fences and hope you're hitting a grand slam. And now I think that's probably the scenario that he's thinking anyway. At least it'll be entertaining if it's that.
Now, but what's funny is I consider Mayweather, and let's put the caveats in because they're important, right? Guy has, you know, both legally and in other ways has done a lot of things wrong. In some ways he's paid the price for that, and others maybe not fully. Okay. But looking at him as a boxer, I am a business owner, but I grew up in a union, you know, way back now, 2.5 hours ago, I grew up in a union coal mining town. My dad was union, like he would fight you. If someone came in, you know, my younger sister, if she would have brought a boyfriend home, you know, from college, it would have been talking about union, you know, talking crap on unions. It would have been a fight. Because for people that, you know, coal miners, and obviously there's many different fields, it was like the difference between working hard and having a good life and working hard and, you know, being exploited was the perspective. And I think there was a lot of truth to a lot of that. Okay. So the fact of the matter is that the idea of, you know, the working class and the idea of, you know, looking at a boxer like Mayweather, who is not the owner, he is the worker. And just the idea of Joe Louis, you know, you hear stories here in Vegas, and I mean, the old timers are gone from that, but you read about him where he had to be a greeter. I think it was at Caesars. So here's, you know, some say the greatest fighter of all time, and the IRS are giving him a stipend because he just got took. And the idea that Mayweather's going to have a lot of money at the end of this. Now, what he does with it, we'll see. But he, I would make the case he's the greatest businessman in the history of sports as a, or the best sports player as a businessman. Agree or disagree?
It's an interesting thought because, yes, from a from just a sports perspective, but I also question where the hell he's, this money's gone to in his other.
But it, that's a separate conversation. Yeah, if you've got a leak, you've got a leak. But it's how much he's brought in.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And so my point is, if we got a few more minutes on this?
Well, we need to go to break here. So
that's what I sense in your voice. So, yeah. All right, we'll tease ahead.
We'll come back to it and finish this when we get back. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Anxious about the recent election and the impact on your business? Let HRNP help you navigate through the uncertainty. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. R.J. Bell filling in today. R.J., did you want to finish up your thoughts on the Mayweather thing?
Yeah, I think it's unequivocal, and you agreed that Mayweather, problems aside, is a great businessman as an athlete and a great promoter, not so much as a boxing promoter, but as a marketer. And I think one thing he missed, and we were talking about the chance of, you know, what's going to get people to watch this fight and the chance of a knockout, is with McGregor being so over the top with, you know, his, you know, negativity towards Mayweather, crap talking, whatever you want to call it, is this harkens back to Ali versus Floyd Patterson. And, you know, I've been a big Ali fan, so I've read a decent amount about his fights. But the story of that fight was that, you know, Patterson felt like Ali was too liberal and, you know, revolutionary, whatever, when it came to social issues. And it was, you know, refusing to call him Ali versus Cassius Clay. And Ali said, you either call me Cassius or Ali, or I am going to hurt you in this fight, because at that point Floyd was older and it was kind of like one of those classic, the former champion who's 37 versus the new 24-year-old. And to me, that seems like an amazing kind of thing that Mayweather could do here, as in there's a certain group of people feel like Mayweather's going to dominate this fight, is if McGregor keeps talking, say, you apologize, or not only am I going to beat you, but I'm going to humiliate you, I'm going to hurt you. And all of a sudden now you're going to have the UFC people who are going to say, oh, he's got a chance. But now you're taking the skeptics from the boxing side, and maybe a percentage of them that would have kind of not saw the fight because they thought it was going to be so one-sided would have said, wow, I just wonder how bad he is going to hurt him now that he's going to try. And it seems – I'm kind of surprised that angle hasn't – and I guess I'd be very happy if it did because I'd look prescient here. But it feels like – and let me ask you, Fred, is that – could be an angle that could draw in some of the real skeptics of this fight, almost like a car wreck. Is like, how bad's it going to be?
Well, and that might be the one reason that I actually watched the fight, because
without being told so.
Well, the reality is I as much as I admire what he's done as a businessman in the fight game, I think he's a boring as hell fighter. He's damn good, but his style is boring. I don't enjoy watching him. And McGregor is—he's a guy that's not that aggressive as a striker, so I don't think the fight's going to be very interesting to watch. It just isn't a Mayweather fight that I can look back on, other than maybe De La Hoya, where I said, "Wow, man, that was fun to watch." I mean, and that's a credit to how good he is. But in this case, I just think it's such a mismatch that why would I even watch it? But that might get me to do it, just because, you know what? If he's pissed off, maybe he will knock this dude out. Maybe he will go after him and hurt him.
And it's another example, though, and this is kind of media theory, of how little or how rarely we are able to share experiences together. And sporting events, and this is a big advantage that the sports broadcasters like ESPN have, is it's tough to watch a Monday night game 3 hours later. Right? I'm going to turn off my Twitter, turn off my text, go do something else, and then come back and watch the game and skip all the commercials. You can try to do it, and you can probably do it. but it also is extremely first of all, it's difficult, but it's not as fun because you're not checking on Twitter after something happened or the whole second screen experience. And to me, if I was a hardcore boxing fan, I'd be watching all the Showtime and HBO Friday and Saturday night things they have all year round, like many, many weeks a year. I'm guessing you don't watch most of those. So if it – or do you?
I watch the big fights and fighters that I'm interested in. I'm not watching every single card, but there's
– So you're not a fight aficionado at that level. So to me, it's more of a spectacle, right? The fight aficionados are going to be brought in by a Showtime, you know, Friday night card or whatever. The difference between that and this card – are the casual fans. And to me, the spectacle of this, it like literally on Twitter, it's going to be, oh, here he comes. He's in silver trunks. And like, you know, 17 beat writers are saying silver trunks. And it's like that kind of shared experience is really rare these days. And especially now it's going to be in the movie theaters. You know, for those that don't, if you can sit around with your buddies.
Just announced that today, right? That they're going
to. Or I think it might have been yesterday. Yeah, is if you're going to split it with your buddies, that's going to be fun as a social experience. But if you people who don't have that chance, now they have a chance to go and watch it. You know, I think it's between $15 and $25 or something.
$40, $25 for children, at least here in Houston.
Oh, so it's that high. Okay,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah, so that's and it's at a whole bunch of the cinemas around town here. So I'm sure you can find it pretty easily online if you want to go do it. But $40. But it's better than spending $99 by yourself.
If you're by, exactly. But in a weird way, it's almost like, would you want to go and say, like, I have nowhere else to go, so I'm going to this theater. But I guess I don't want to overemphasize that too much. Last point, I will be betting Mayweather at minus 500 or less. And very actionable advice here for the listener. If you like McGregor, and this isn't certain, this is just very likely, your best price is going to be now. This line will go down and down and down. It will probably swing up on fight day, but it won't get back to most likely where it is now. So it's imagine like sort of a check mark. It's going to go down, 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 down. Some point the night before or the day of the fight, the pros are going to say, okay, we're as low as we are probably going to get. Let's step in. The first time it ticks up, the first big group it steps in, so let's just say it's down to minus 480. The minute it goes to minus 490, all the other pros are like, okay, we've reached bottom. Boom, 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 boom. It will go back up to maybe 530, 540, maybe even a little higher. But right now you can get it's minus 700 plus 500. So you're much better off now. And I think it's almost unequivocal that a vast majority of recreational bettors are going to bet McGregor because they like to bet a little to win a lot, where a vast majority of professional bettors are going to be on Mayweather. And again, I'll be firing if I can get, minus 500 or less.
Yeah, I think that's the number I'm looking for too. And I'm with you on that. I'm going to hit Mayweather closer to the fight, obviously. But when it gets to 500, I think that's a good number. All right, guys. Man, we only got one segment left. There's like 10,000 things I wanted to get to today that we didn't.
I'm just getting my second win.
All right, well, but we're going to take a quick break. But before we do, I got to tell you about Harry's Razors and how this – I'm telling you what, man, this is such a good deal because I used to hate going to the store. I don't have to go to the store to buy razors ever again because Harry sends them right to my mailbox. I'm getting great quality razors. I'm getting a great shave. I'm saving money. And the best part is it's so convenient. Over 3 million guys have made the switch to Harry's, and there's 100% satisfaction guarantee to your money back. The best part is once you get your razors, you can set up a plan, and you tell them how often you shave, and guess what? Your razors are going to show up right when you need them, every time. They're so confident that you're going to love their blades, they're going to give you their set for free. All you have to do is cover shipping. Your free trial set includes an ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision-engineered blades with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, a rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. We partner with Harry's to bring you this incredible offer. Head over to harrys.com/blitz to get it now. Get started with Harry's today and get their free trial offer. That's right, free. All you cover is just a few bucks in shipping. To get your free trial set that includes a handle, blade, shave gel, and travel blade cover, go to harrys.com/blitz. That's harrys.com/blitz. Don't wait. Get started with Harry's today.
To get Get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink. Go to culturemap.com.
I wouldn't hold my breath if I was you. Cause I forget, but I'll never forgive you. Don't you know, true friends stab you in the front.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back. Win a $250 gift card from Barcelona Sports. Just sign up to win on ESPN975.com/Barcelona Sports. One lucky winner takes home a $250 gift card. Best products, best prices, and personal service. Barcelona Sporting Goods, your athletic outfitter since 1956. And coming up at 7 o'clock, right after the show, Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis. And we've got the greatest gambling mind in the country right now, and then we'll have the greatest soccer mind here at 7 o'clock. So tune in. RJ, this we didn't even get a chance to talk about Led Zeppelin. I wanted to get your top five Led Zeppelin songs. We've been threatening to do this forever.
And Zeppelin. You feel Zeppelin, though, right? You can talk a little about Zeppelin, but you feel Zeppelin.
Yeah, you know, and my opinion over them has changed so much the older I've gotten. When I was a kid and I'd hear the songs, and you know, and I was a musician, and I and everybody's like, "Oh, we got to do Zeppelin." I'm like, it's not working for me. And yet, the older I've gotten, the more I've appreciated the riffs and the voice and the things that they were doing differently. And I've gained a completely new appreciation for that band over time.
But I've never heard a Zeppelin song covered that I've ever even noticed. Because even Zeppelin knew they couldn't cover Zeppelin, right? About it. For those that don't know, John Bonham, the drummer, and this brings us back to the Freaks and Geeks. There's a character on that TV show that was a drummer, and this was a 1980 set show, literally 1980, and Bonham, the drummer, died in 80, and the drummer was all depressed, and the girl says, Lindsay says, "What's wrong?" He goes, "The drummer for Zeppelin died." And she goes, "Oh, they'll just get another drummer." And he looks at him and goes, just shakes his head and walks away. And that was the truth. Zeppelin could have had pretty much, you know, I guess, unless you were in a major band otherwise, but any other drummer in the world would have loved to play for Zeppelin. They quit the band. They ended the band because no one could play drums like Bonham. So how in the heck are you ever going to cover those guys?
All right. Well, they couldn't cover themselves, technically, once that happened. And
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, even with just one guy gone.
Yeah. And it's interesting because his kid made some pretty decent music and tried to mimic his sound a little bit with the drums, and it didn't. You know, it's just never going to be the same. But there are some drummers that, yeah, you could replace. I don't think he was one of them. And I think that's one of the things that made him so great. I just don't know with any of those three guys, especially, I just don't think you could replace any one of them and have the same band. So,
we used to have, you know, growing up in the 80s, we used to have a conversation like, okay, best five guitarists. And, you know, it's like Hendrix. We just heard some Hendrix a while back. And, you know, Hendrix is in the mix. And, you know, back then it was like Randy Rhoads, who people don't know as well now.
I love Randy Rhoads. He was amazing.
Oh, there you go, right?
He was amazing.
And then you had the Steve Vai's of the world that was more of a showman. And then, you know, Stones, if you like the, you know, Keith. But then Zeppelin, you know, Jimmy Page would be on the list. All right, best drummer, oh, Bonham and everyone else. Okay. Best singer, okay, Plant's in the conversation. Best bassist, oh, John Paul Jones, he's in the conversation. And then we'd go think about it, every one of them. You know, and we all be getting off on how, like, and it's true, right? Every one of them was one of the best at their instrument. Yeah. It was a true dream team.
And that's what made them great. Well, guess what? We're out of time. Went by too fast. All right. Well,
let's do it next July. We'll make the date right now. If you're not dead, Fred, next July.
That sounds good. I will attempt to do my best to live that long. So,
deal.
I appreciate you coming on, man. And gonna say A+ for RJ Bell today. A+ for John Lee, mainly because he got RJ Bell here. And you know, I didn't suck too much today. I'm gonna give myself a D+. It's not too bad. Tomorrow will be Mike Liebeschock. Beth Liebling will join us, and we'll do some of the things we usually do on Wednesdays tomorrow as well, simply because you know, when you got a guy like RJ, you want to let the show go where it goes, and I think that was the best thing to do. And then on Friday, Henry Thomas will join me, the All-Pro. So the All-Star cast continues. That's going to wrap it up for today. Till tomorrow, stay sportsy, bitches.
ESPN 97.5.